kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Because I'm taking larger bites and I'm just going to be sitting there chewing the whole fucking time.
So, Chris, what do you think about this game?
Funny thing about that, actually.
And because it's mac and cheese, it's noodles. They're very small. So technically, even if I just take a couple noodles and I don't even have to technically chew them. Like that's terrifying.
I think that's our cold open.
Real? Oh, fucking Christ. Come on.
What?
Yeah, I guess you're right. That doesn't make sense. Let's start off strong.
Of course we have to start out strong. So what's up, everyone? This is Joe. This is the SML Podcast, episode number 207?
Number.
Losing track. There's too fucking many of them.
Whatever.
Why are we doing so many?
I don't even know why you count anymore.
It's because, I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. This is the SML Podcast, episode number...
Yeah, episode number a lot. Something like that.
So, no guests today, at least not yet. We're going to have someone jump in a little bit later and give us a review. But for the most part, yeah, it's just Chris and I this week. Chris, yep. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm having some mac and cheese, which I accidentally just dropped the spoon into the bowl.
So fucking proud of you. Fun.
Yeah.
Fucking proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah. My schedule is getting crazy, so some good paychecks coming up. I could finally fix my computer the way that I, intend to. Right now, it's kind of Frankenstein with some of my bass player's, old parts of his computer.
Because
he was like, I'm not using mine, so you could just kind of like use some of this stuff and, see if you like it. So I don't know how I feel about it because it's the first time he has an AMD processor and motherboard. This is the first time I've used AMD, and fuck, these things run hot. Like, like, oh my god, this thing is like a space heater.
Nice.
I don't know. I think I'm finally gonna have everything set up to have the stream on a regular once I do the PC upgrades. And, that should be in the next couple of weeks because these paychecks are gonna be baller. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking fruit fly in this house. I am going to set it on fire if I ever catch it.
Well, just get yourself like an Axe body spray can from like Dollar General and a Bic lighter. And you could just kind of torch it right out of the sky. You
know what I mean? When it lands on my computer monitor, just
no, it'd be sizzling for the. Yeah.
So, yeah. Since we don't have a guest this week, I guess we're just going to do news and reviews, unless there's any kind of big topic you want to talk about.
News. News. Pretty much more news.
Yeah. So, news. I guess we'll go down my list of stuff here, and then if there's anything you want to talk about.
I already looked up. Why don't we start with the one thing that I do know about, or at least some of it.
Okay.
Games with Gold.
Yes, I was actually going to lead off with that.
Cool.
Monday night, I guess the video for Xbox Games with Gold for August was accidentally made live on YouTube because shortly after it was posted, it went to private. And then like an hour later, the news was out on like Major Nelson's blog and everything else. So I guess they're like, well, fuck, the news is out. We might as well just
do it.
Acknowledge that this is a thing. We'll start with Xbox 360. They are older games, but they're both really, really solid games. The first one from August 1st through the 15th.
Spelunky, right?
Spelunky, yes.
I never had a chance to actually play that yet.
Well, now you'll have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Excited?
I'm pretty excited for the Xbox One games.
Also on Xbox 360, from the 16th through the 31st, another all-time classic, Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Which I have not played that either. So.
Well, you are in for a treat. And then
See, and this is why I should be keeping current on my my Games with Gold at all times. But at least now this is the first one that I'm getting since I renewed my gold. So this makes me a little happy.
Yeah, and the Xbox One games.
Yeah.
Man, they are bringing the thunder.
Yeah.
Full retail games.
Yeah, I'm excited.
First off, the entire month of August is Warriors Orochi 3, which was actually rumored for a month or two ago. The one guy on NeoGAF who's been like spot on with, you know, backward compatibility announcements and Games with Gold stuff, he said that he's been hearing rumors of Warriors Orochi 3, but he couldn't pin down when, and it looks like it's happening all of August.
That's cool, man.
So that's
I don't have a Warriors game. I don't own a Warriors game.
Well, so now you'll have one.
Now I have one. and then, I like them. It's not like I don't like the games. I just never, I don't know. I've always rented them. You know, I never actually like owned one.
I'm excited because I could trade in my physical copy for $8 now. Woo!
Hey, that's $8 you
fucking
didn't have.
Make it rain, bitch.
That works. Yeah.
And then the other game, this one's pretty huge.
Yeah.
WWE 2K16.
I thought it was 15.
No, 2K16.
I actually kind of hoped it was 15.
Why?
Because isn't that the one with the Attitude Era stuff?
I don't know.
I don't fucking remember. I haven't played a wrestling game ages. Actually, no. Didn't I play 16 and I fucking hated it? It was 16 or 15?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know what the fuck you play.
I don't remember.
There's some people who are like, oh, why are they giving us a game that's going to be obsolete in like 3 months when the new game comes out?
Because it's fucking free.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how fucking old a wrestling game is, because some of the best wrestling games are the oldest wrestling games.
Yeah. Dude, I'm just kind of excited at the fact that, like, because let's be honest, once they rotate out, they're not worth fuck all.
Yeah.
So it's like, for now, if anybody ever wants, you know, the itch to play a wrestling game, they'll have one in their library.
Yeah,
like,
free.
They just fucking, yeah, whatever.
And then you gotta wonder, is 2K, like, are they trying to come after EA a bit?
Yeah, and that's the thing that I was kind of interested about. Did 2K really do many games with gold before?
No.
So, yeah.
And
like
especially never any of their annual sports titles.
Yeah. So that's why I'm kind of like, huh. So 2K could potentially be interested in doing some more games with gold down the line, maybe?
I mean, NBA 2K16 was just a part of PlayStation Plus. And
right.
Now WWE 2K16 games with gold sounds pretty interesting. I wonder what's going to happen next.
I think that was the one that I was more excited about, and it was primarily because of that. Like, I don't remember seeing 2K stuff other than maybe like Borderlands, but that was about it. You know?
Either way, that's a fairly crazy games with gold lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's tons of value. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
Yeah, my favorite part about the people complaining about WWE 2K16 being obsolete in a couple months is that whenever WWE 2K17 releases, it will already be obsolete.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just, like, wrestling, we've covered some wrestling on this show before, but this week with wrestling, they started the whole draft, the brand extension. So Raw is completely separate from SmackDown. They have their own distinct rosters, brand new theme songs, brand new sets. You know, none of that shit is going to be in the game.
No, fucking God, no.
Because
and if they do, well, do you think that they'll go back to having the two separate games?
No, I don't think so.
That'd be fucking cool, though.
I don't think so because when they did that, they had different developers working on the different games.
You don't think they would, you know, toss around the idea of maybe working with another developer? Maybe?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think 2K is going to do that. I think the fact that they brought on the WWE license and they have the one game, I think that's about as far as they're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. It would be cool if they did.
Because don't forget, when they had the separate games, SmackDown was on PlayStation, Raw was on Xbox.
Raw was on Xbox, yeah.
I really don't think we're going to see shit like that again.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think nowadays, with how much people hate exclusive shit, I think that's just asking for trouble.
Well, people hate exclusive stuff, but it doesn't stop it from happening.
True.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of exclusive stuff, have you heard the latest rumors going around?
No.
Apparently, I don't know how legit these are, but there have been images popping up of an Xbox One version of Street Fighter V.
Yo, that'd be fucking sweet.
I mean, there's obviously no way to determine how legit they are, but there's you know, images popped up of Amazon.com, Amazon Canada, and GameStop all having a listing for the game, but then being taken down.
Can I go out on a limb and say that if they were to actually port and make a good port, which, let's be honest, most of the Street Fighter ports have actually been better on the Xbox than they have been on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I think we covered this in a previous podcast. Sony, they were doing a Sony event that was specifically like PlayStation 4 event, but they were running the tournament off of Xboxes.
Yeah, because the PS4 version of Ultra Street Fighter 4 was bad.
Unplayable.
At the time.
Yeah. So I would absolutely, if they ported this over to Xbox One and did it well, I would absolutely immediately be on the market for a good fight stick for the Xbox One. Because I'm already teetering on the fence of doing it for Killer Instinct. And the only reason why I say that is because I can't get, for whatever fucking reason, the Windows 10 version of Killer Instinct will not sync any of my DLC and any of my purchases from the Xbox One version.
That's weird.
And I want to use I would prefer to use the PC version so that I could use the fight stick that I already have. However, I would justify getting a better fight stick if I had two games on the system that I would really want to play. Because realistically, like, I'm not going to buy a fight stick for one. I'll do it for two.
Don't forget, there's a lot of backward compatible fight games.
Well, yeah, that too. But I don't own a lot of them. I mean, like fighting game wise. Well, Tekken's coming out on the Xbox One, is it not?
Yeah, Tekken 7.
Maybe I will look into one anyway. We'll see. Well, yeah. See, and I want to try and I want to compare, like the Windows 10 version of Killer Instinct to the Xbox One version, and see which ones, like, if there's any major differences. Because if it runs fine on the PC version, and I can figure out a way to get my DLC to transfer over, then I'll just stick with the PC.
Yeah.
Like, fucking, you know, and then PC will be where all my fighting games are, which that's where my copy of Ultra Street Fighter Turbo 2016-15 edition, whatever.
What?
The previous one. I think it was just Ultra Street Fighter 4.
Okay.
The Ultimate Street Fighter 4 Tournament Edition.
Whatever.
I don't even know.
But no idea. No idea if those pictures are legit or if they're just Photoshops. I mean, shit like that is easy to Photoshop. It's just many different versions have been popping up. And the fact that the game really didn't sell that well on the PlayStation 4, maybe there was a clause in the contract with Sony that if it didn't meet a sales threshold, they don't have to keep it exclusive.
That would be interesting. It'd be smart.
Yeah.
From a company perspective. Yeah. I don't know why.
It's very, very possible this might happen. So, but who knows?
Cool.
And until there's any kind of official announcement, this is all clearly just rumors, but we can all have our wishful thinking. Never forget the days when Capcom said that there is no way ever at all that Resident Evil 4 would leave the GameCube.
And where is it now?
it's on everything. But even back then, like the producer, the director of the game said that, like, if he would like cut off his own head if it were to ever appear on PlayStation 2, something like that. That's how dead set they were that this was a GameCube game.
Yeah. Well,
so never believe anything.
I'm still holding out for Skate 4. So. And that backwards compatible Skate 3 or
one,
2.
One day.
Or 1. I don't give a fuck. Just give me a Skate game.
One day.
I have them all.
One day. But speaking of backward compatible stuff, a whole ton of games just came out in the past week.
Cool.
Last Thursday was a massive drop of like 8 new games.
Okay.
Bionic Commando Rearm 2.
Okay.
Capcom Arcade Cabinet, which I enjoy. There's
what's in that?
It's all like stuff from the 80s.
Okay.
All old school arcade stuff. You look it up. You, I'm.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
Yeah, just fucking.
I'm just curious. I was just seeing it.
Motherfucker. God.
You okay?
No.
Oh, okay.
Crystal Defenders, which is the Final Fantasy style tower defense game.
Okay.
Fret Nice, which is a 2D platformer that was originally playable with a guitar controller.
Awesome.
Yeah, but clearly you can't do that on the Xbox 360 on Xbox One backward compatible. Because you can't use any of the old control. Well, maybe, I wonder if it'll let you use
yeah,
the...
Yeah, just say, why can't you?
I wonder, maybe it will let you use them. That'd be interesting.
You'll have to find that out.
That would be interesting. I don't have the game, and I don't feel like spending $15 on it, so...
Well, we'll Google it.
If it was on sale for $5, I'd probably grab it. But
who's to say it will be on sale for $5 in the future?
Maybe. Neo Geo Battle Coliseum.
Okay.
Good stuff. Pac-Man Museum. That's the one, the most recent one that came out with all the different Pac-Man variations in it. Sonic 4 Episode 1 and Sonic 4 Episode 2.
Speaking of, can we get to more news?
There's still more backward compatible stuff. Two more were announced today.
Okay.
Boom Boom Rocket.
Oh, that game's fun.
And Siberia, which is an adventure, like a PC adventure style game. It didn't even come out on 360 until after the Xbox One came out, so now it could have a new life.
Cool.
So, yeah, go ahead. Do the Sonic news. I know you're excited for it.
There's gonna be a new Sonic game, and it doesn't look horrible. It looks good. It's gonna have, like, some reimagining stuff from, like, older levels so that it'll, like, maybe certain character sets and tile sets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it looks good, man. It looks really good. What was it? It's like Sonic
Mania, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, Sonic Mania. Yeah.
It's a brand new 2D Sonic game.
Yeah.
And it's made by the guy, Christian Whitehead is the guy's name. He gained popularity when he ported Sonic 1 and 2 to 16:9 HD, like the original Genesis games, he ported them to HD.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that got Sega's attention, and they're like, this guy might be able to not fuck up our games like we have.
Yeah, fucking hopefully.
Because they have fucked up their games.
Yeah, they have. Yes, they have.
And let's not forget that among all the insanity of this new 2D Sonic game, Sonic Team announced they're making another new 3D Sonic game.
I'll still play it. I'll still play it.
Curiously, the new 3D one in the systems lineup, it has Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, and NX. Where
yeah, I saw
2D one doesn't list NX.
It doesn't.
No. And people wonder, I think it would be stupid if they didn't bring that one to NX. considering Nintendo has basically been Sonic's home now.
Yeah, for a while now.
Yeah.
Probably since the Wii, yeah?
Pretty much.
What, the DF?
Well, there were a bunch... GameCube had the Sonic Adventure games ported.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, there's been games that would only appear on Nintendo or only appear on other stuff, but in recent years, especially with, like, the Sonic and Mario Olympic games that were coming out...
Those were all Nintendo things, yeah.
So, I think Nintendo should just buy Sonic.
Do you think they would?
I don't think Sega would give it up.
Well, what is Sega without Sonic at this point?
Yeah.
Like, what do they have? Do they have anything else?
I don't fucking know.
It's not like they're fucking putting out systems anymore. It's not like they're, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What else do they have as a company? Like,
a
couple smaller IPs, like, but fucking Sonic is their poster child, so.
Yeah. The last two bits of news I have are two things that we talked about last week. We mentioned Dead Rising and the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games had trophies popping up.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Dead Rising triple pack has been obviously confirmed, and it had a listing on the Xbox store, and they claimed it was a placeholder date, and it has since been removed, but it was shown with a September 13th date.
Yo!
Which is a Tuesday.
That'd be cool. So that's not far from now.
It might be in September. We don't know. But since then, they removed the date, and they said it was a placeholder, and it wasn't supposed to be there. So who knows? But
blah-de-blah-de-blah. Yeah.
You never know. Marvel Ultimate Alliance, not only has that been confirmed, but it has been released.
Oh, God, man.
Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 re-released. It is available right now as we are recording on PlayStation 4 and Steam. It is releasing this Thursday, so if you're listening to this, it's already out on everything anyway, on the Xbox One. It's Activision pricing. $39.99 each.
Oh, God!
Or both of them.
What the fuck?
Or the both of them for $60.
$60?
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck, Activision? God damn it. Like,
I was expecting...
I wanted to get that game, but now I don't.
Like, I was expecting $40 for the pair. But I should have known after the prototype bundle that they pulled the same deal. To their credit, I know that the last gen versions are still fairly expensive. I would assume with all the licensing involved.
Yeah,
the cost is a bit higher.
That hurts. Does it look like a way, way better?
No, I haven't seen any gameplay footage. The interviews I've seen, they said that the visuals have been slightly improved to give it a more modern look, and they have done some fixes to the UI, but they wanted it to be a pure experience of how it originally was. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
I don't know.
I lost my interest.
I'll probably wait for a sale. I mean, they're still amazing games.
Yes. Yes. They are very good games. However, I will not pay full price for them.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Anyway, are you ready for this week's reviews?
I suppose I am.
Our mountain of reviews.
I suppose I am.
There are a lot, and I think we're going to need to bring in some help for this one.
Who would you suggest?
Well, one of our reviews is going to be handled by the one and only Chris Taylor. Hey, so it's Joe, and I don't know what the hell happened, but there was an issue with recording tonight, and I'm sure you could tell that I'm here doing this little, middle thing, whatever we're going to call it. We lost about 20 minutes of the show that our guest Chris was on, and we had to basically redo all of it. And then just because losing part of the show isn't shitty enough, for some reason, the rest of this episode, all of the Skype conversation is going to be echoed. So again, I don't know what the hell happened. I am sorry that the audio quality for this episode is in the shithole. Unfortunately, there wasn't really anything we could do about it, and we don't have the time to re-record, and potatoes knocking my mic away. Can you please, I'm trying to, daddy's working. So yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. I apologize for the audio quality, and now I'm going to blast your ears with static some more, and you can go back to listening to the shitty other part of the episode that sounds like dog poo and static.
I'm not interested. Go away.
I already gave you the office.
All right, it's recording now. So, oh God, I'm going to have to remember that if I add people mid call with this program, it fucks everything.
Well, just don't add people mid call. Or if you're going to have to add mid people, add people mid call, then you have to just restart the call. That's all.
Yeah. God damn it. God damn it. Why can't I just get a good recording process?
It's never easy, Joe.
Never.
It's never easy.
You need a handheld Sony tape mini cassette recorder.
Yeah.
You need a talk back.
I just need to record the show on it.
That's what it is.
On a cell phone in the middle of a table again.
Yeah, right.
That was it. We're home early.
That was the easy days. Just toss a fucking phone in the middle of the room and just bullshit. That was so much easier.
Oh man. So I'm gonna pretend that we didn't have to edit anything there. Hey Chris, are you ready to talk about this week's featured games?
Oh boy, am I.
Wrong Chris, because you're not on the call yet, technically, but
now you are.
Chris Taylor has joined us amidst all of our recording issues.
Hey, these Yay. Things happen.
Hey, there was no edits at all. This shit was seamless. Perfectly yep. seamless.
It was amazing. We have
done it live.
Chris Taylor, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing okay. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. Great to be back.
I feel like an asshole because you've been talking to us for like 20 minutes and none of it recorded.
It's okay. It was just a practice swing.
Indeed. I didn't like your first attempt at reviewing the game that you reviewed for us, so...
Yeah, it wasn't glowing enough.
Let's try this shit over. Our first game of the week to review, again, is Journey of Crazia, or Crazia, or Konami, something, Infinite Konami's. Yeah. Journey to Crazia...
Yeah.
Developed by EXE Create, published by Kemco, released July 14th on the 3DS for $9.99. Chris, you handled this for us. Tell us all about the game like you didn't just tell us about the game.
Okay, well, it's the best game ever made.
Really?
I had a whole great James Patterson joke there about how it's basically...
I'm so sorry, by the way.
I know, right? I was coming up with that off the top of my head. I didn't write anything.
Fucking program.
I'll tell you what I wrote. Review notes. Varg, people with horns. Altians, humans with green hair. Lunarl, people with ears and tails. 10-year cycle. Orb synthesis. Arena. Holy brand. Carrier Bidgen. Don Apostle's bad guys? That's kind of what I wrote.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, the whole summary of it is that, Journey to Crazia is basically the next, sort of full game for Kemco to release in rather short order. As I said, they're the James Patterson of throwback Super Nintendo RPGs on portable systems. So I feel like my great-grandmother with her, you know, romance novels that you buy at the drugstore kind of deal, just a different one every week. And, but yeah, compared to the other one, which is Infinite Dunamis, which I reviewed last time, We've got a couple differences, but it's largely the same game. It plays very similar and, you know, same fonts, mostly same graphics and very similar tile sets. It's a little smoother, a little prettier, and the hero is not a dour nincompoop. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I remember you saying the last game he was just like a complete moron.
Yeah, just really didn't want to be in a video game. So I suppose XCreate got all the hate tweets or something like that and decided to, you know, from the nine people who played the last game, and decided to fix it up by making the hero much more optimistic and gung-ho and also from the present, that is to say our time. He's a presumably Japanese teenager who gets zapped into another world that he just instantly accepts because he decided that he's dreaming and that he's in a video game or anime, which is a recurring theme in the game. The guy basically is, it even says on his on the status screen in the game that it's like it does a likes and dislikes of everyone, which is something JRPGs tend to do, and he likes video games. He doesn't know any titles of video games.
But, so this is like super meta. It's a video game fan ported into a video game, but he doesn't know he's in a video game. He just thinks it's real life that's like a video game.
Something like that. He thinks it's all a dream, I suppose. He, at this point, 5 hours into the game, is now sort of skeptical about his initial prediction. So he's starting to think that possibly it's real. But, yeah, just like I sent you guys some screenshots to use or whatever if you happen to want to, but so like he's musing to himself in the middle of the night, and at one point he's like, this has got to be what this is. I mean, what else has a savior and an overlord in it besides the game? And then he remembers in his first night in the video game, he's like, sigh, and I never got a chance to set my DVR to snag that anime that starts airing tonight.
That so, nondescript anime.
That anime, you know that anime. That anime, the one that starts tonight. Also DVRs, lol. So that's kind of how he's written.
I never had a DVR.
Me neither, actually. I've never recorded.
And as we talk, I have SmackDown paused on my DVR. Rassles.
I used to just wait for it to come out on DVD, and now I guess that's just the same as Netflix.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Before that, it was VCRs, so.
Which fun story, did you hear the news that this month in Japan, they are going to manufacture the very last VCR?
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Like, I really quite like VCRs. I still have one.
Can I be honest? It honestly took them this long. Really?
I was going to say, I didn't realize they were still making them.
I figured they would have been
them.
Done like fucking 15 years ago.
They're poor countries, man. They can only afford VCRs in places that are poor.
So are there like current movies being ported over to VCR?
I don't think so.
I've seen pictures of Frozen, the Disney film. It came out on VHS, I believe.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
See, yeah, like is it weird of me to say that like maybe there's newer movies that would probably like translate better if I had to watch it on a shitty VHS?
I'd say so. It certainly would make Sharknado more watchable.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. The less of it you see, the more you want to watch it.
VCRs.
Oh yeah, VCRs. So I played this game on my VCR, and so yeah, like Infinite Dinami is basically the, like I said, the story is that the hero is zapped to fantasy world by a priestess who has animal ears and an animal tail, which raised a few animal red flags for me. It's not something I normally like to see in video games nowadays, but. Turns out that the game deals sort of weirdly, but I suppose realistically with racism, because you've got three different races in this fantasy planet, and they're all just people with different things on their heads.
Interesting.
Yeah, and of course, different powers, because any sort of high fantasy is always going to apply a certain skill set to a certain race, because that's how you get rid of racism. That seems to be how it is so far. It's very Star Trek-y in that way. It's like you've got your big brutish sort of people with horns on their heads, and then you've got your sort of mystical people with animal ears, and then the worst of all, the people who look like humans, but they've got green hair. So
it's just they have green hair.
They have green hair, and that's how you know.
Those crazy aliens.
Yeah. And so one of them has actually joined my party at this point. His name is Animos Monochrome, and he's a bard. So I have a bard.
What kind of name?
He's got a banjo. He's currently equipped with a banjo, I kid you not.
Can you rename him to Chris?
I would like to.
What? Why?
I have a banjo. I don't really play it, but I'm probably better than a bard.
See, we have two musician Chris's on the show.
Oh, yeah. You meant Chris with a K.
It doesn't really matter, because it works both ways.
It's Huber and Taylor.
Yeah, there you go.
Uber.
So the story is a lot easier to sort of handle, as you know, Mistranslations set aside. Did the mistranslation thing get deleted?
Everything that we talked about before.
Okay. So the game's translation is pretty the writing and translation is fairly solid, genericness aside, and the fact that the hero doesn't know the titles of anything that he likes. Which, I will say, if I didn't say before, the Alphadia is name-dropped, and that's the other X-Create/Chemco 3DS release besides Infinite Dunami, so that's pretty funny. Okay, so there's a character in the game. She is sort of like this conniving sort, another priestess. Like the priestess's job is to summon a savior to their world, which the world is called Krizia, and he is supposed to defeat an overlord who appears every, not 100, not 1,000, but 10 years.
Oh, God.
Each and every decade, as regularly as a Republican candidacy, I suppose. Hero must rise up and defeat the thing that comes up. So, apparently, and then the priestess is supposed to accompany the savior on his mission. So, this is a girl who is not the priestess who summoned the hero's name, Eusis. I think it's his name. Is it Eusis? Yeah. Freaking useless, right? Okay, anyway, so she's talking to her cronies. She's trying to steal away, like she has plans, I suppose, to steal away the savior so that she can be the priestess and get all the glory. I don't know. But she says the following line, and I've sent it as a screenshot to you all to.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I still can't.
I know. I will read it aloud. Just who has it been, thanks to you, Vol, been able to escape being devoured by monsters up until now? Me, you dumb buffoons.
I don't fucking get that.
That's technically the third time I've heard it, and I still haven't gotten half of it.
Maybe a different voice will help you. Just who has it been, thanks to you've all been able to escape being devoured by monsters up until now? Me, you dumb buffoons.
No, it still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Didn't think so.
I feel like a dumb buffoon reading that. So, you know, it's got some hiccups. It also has some intentional weirdness, such as birds who carry notes around are called, get this, carrier bidgins with a B.
Carrier bitches?
Yeah, exactly. And they're just like... you know, it's just a thing. It's like, that's how they indicate to you that it's a different place and they have a different language. And the hero's like, oh, wow, it's just like English except this one word. It's just like that video game.
Like that anime that I love that I won't name because
it's not
a thing. That nondescript anime.
Well,
anyway, so you go around and basically you're moving from cave to cave because all the dungeons again are caves. I'm really hoping for some variety this time around. I played 20 hours into Dunamis and never saw anything beside the cave, and I'm only 5 hours into this game, but I'm expecting maybe they'll switch it up a little bit. But
you thought wrong, bitch.
Yeah, I know, pretty much. But it did carry over pretty much everything I liked about Infinite Dunamis. So the battle system's really cool. There's lots of skills that the target things that you have to like really use strategy in order to defeat, or you can just ratchet down the difficulty to easy and just wreck everything.
That's probably what I would do.
Or you can ratchet up to hard and like have to deal with like pure hell every single step. So it's kind of like there's pretty extreme on the easy, normal to hard. Plus, like in the last game, there's an arena where you can battle things that are above your level just over and over and over again in order to get like sequence breaking, amazing end game style weapons. And that always. That's probably 15 out of my 20 hours playing Dunamis, so that's I'm expecting to similarly dump much time into this particular arena. So lots of things to really excite the old school fans who like all the mechanical stuff. Monsters look really cool. Music sounds good. A little bit of lacking variety, but I think I've come to expect that from the X-Create stuff, because I mean it is mobile games ported over to 3DS. Like I said, it's not the epic novel that, you know, that some games are, but it's perfectly good for like a, you know, portable monthly release. Gets you a different sort of experience going.
So what do you think your final verdict on it would be? Buy it, try it, deny it? What are your thoughts?
Definitely buy it. If you've been interested in any of the $10 games that Kemco's been coming out with lately, this is the one like to grab so far. Nice. It's much more charming than Infinite Dunamis. It's got all the good stuff and very little of the bad stuff. That is to say, the hero, while also kind of, you know, he also kind of makes me wish for the days of the silent protagonist, but he's at least more interesting and has better interactions, and all the characters in general have just better interactions and more depth between them than Infinite Dunamis. So I feel like, they're really kind of starting to get into this thing where they're getting better at their writing for these games.
Nice.
So definitely a buy it.
All right. Well, Chris, it was awesome having you on to tell us about the game.
Again.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah. Next is going to be box art reviews, right? We didn't. I think that got deleted too, right?
Yeah. All of it. It's all gone. Box art reviews are next. It's going to happen. Box art reviews. That's going to happen. That'll be our next feature that we're, you could tell, you know, what's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, I just want to say right quick before I head out, that the last image that I sent you is something I actually saw on a wall in a coffee shop in Louisiana. So it was just there. Feel free to use it however you wish.
Nice.
It was just there. What is it? I want to know. And get to see what it is. I want to know.
You'll never know. You'll never know.
Why?
I don't understand the picture.
But. Neither do I. It was on the wall. There was no explanation for it being there.
I will forward this email to Chris Croth. So you can see all the goodies.
Yay.
Plus, I emailed you two reviews that you could read as well.
I already saw them.
Okay, good. So, yeah, Chris Taylor, it has been great having you on and chatting with us, and we'll have to bring you on again sometime, probably in a month when we get another Kemco game.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm loving these games, so keep them coming.
All right, take it easy, Chris.
All right, you too, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
And I think my thing is still recording. Yeah, the timer's still going up. So hanging up on someone doesn't fuck anything up, but well, adding a caller fucks the whole world up.
Oh my God. I got the picture.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Did a 5-year-old try that?
Yeah.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah.
So what's next on the agenda?
Next up is a whole shitload of games. We will kick off the rest of our reviews with Crush Your Enemies, developed by Vile Monarch, published by Gambitious Digital Entertainment, released July 13th on Steam for $9.99. This was actually originally supposed to be reviewed by Rez, but he was unable to do so, and I really don't know what his status with the show is, so I bought it on Steam myself, and I'm tackling it.
Cool.
This is a, I don't want to say a real-time strategy game. It's a lot kind of like Advance Wars on Game Boy Advance.
I love Advance Wars so much.
Basically, you are a pack of Vikings, and you need to take over villages and castles and everything else. So it is all kind of like Risk, where it's all math-based on the number of troops you have.
Oh, man, I want to play this game.
And the strength of your troops, where, say, you have 40 guys and your opponents have 20 guys, you know, you'll click and go onto their spot so you could take over that area. And, you know, 40 to 20, reasonably, you should think that you'll win with about 20, 25 people left, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, if, you know, just standard mathing around there. But there are multiple different upgrades and troop types. I need to get the fact that this game is motherfucking hilarious.
I'm watching the trailer and I'm just like, this looks over the top and fucking amazing.
The very first stage, the tutorial stage, where it's like, click the troops and click the enemies and watch everything happen. The goal was to win within 9 minutes.
Okay.
It took 20 seconds tops. So when I saw that pop up to win within 9 minutes, I lost it. Like, it literally takes seconds. You click your troops, you click the opponent's troops, they move, they attack, and it's over. That's it. Win within 9 minutes.
You should have waited until the very last minute and see if you got an achievement.
that wouldn't shock me, honestly. Is that a naked inflatable barbarian? For one of the power-ups, yeah.
Okay.
Where the decoy, he could help claim areas, but he can be destroyed pretty much instantly. The game, oh my God, like, first off, the voice acting in the game, there's no true voice acting, like, they're all Vikings, so everything's kind of handled in grunts and whatnot, but the way it's handled is, like, the one guy's talking, and all the voice acting is just, and then the Viking talks, he's like, it's like if I made a game with the voice acting, this is probably how I would make it.
Okay.
It is absolutely ridiculously funny. You are trying to teach your son the ways of being a Viking and to crush your enemies. And the kid is like playing on his phone. And I actually wrote down this line of dialogue. He says, "Feck your phone, you fat blabberin' gobshite."
Oh my God.
Dude, you gotta watch this.
If you're interested in learning more about the game, go to the Steam store page and watch these fucking trailers. Cause they're hysterical.
And the game is equally hysterical, and the actual gameplay behind it is solid. Each stage has three different objectives that you could do. Usually it's like conquer the stage, conquer it with only with having so many troops left. And then the last one will be like, you know, conquer it in a certain amount of time or conquer it with even more troops available. There are some survival ones that are like survive 2 minutes, survive 3 minutes. And then the third one is to not just survive, but actually conquer your enemies. There are different buildings that you can have. Like if you take over a settlement, you'll recruit more members, or as they say in the game, they're banging like rabbits. that's how they get more troops. but you know, you're recruiting clearly.
Right.
The more people that you have in the city or in the settlement, the faster you recruit troops. So there's a lot of balance between how many people you want to send out from the settlement and how many you want to leave in there to gather people quicker.
Okay.
Your groups can only be a maximum of 50. So, you know, the time from 1 to 10 might take as long as 20 to 40.
Okay.
Depending on how many. So you still want to make sure that there's enough people in there so that you're getting people at a regular pace. But you know, if you keep everyone in there, you might get overrun. Or your areas might get conquered by the enemies. There's different buildings that if you take your enemies to them, they're pretty much armories where your peons just turn into warriors, which are stronger than peons. So, you know, 10 warriors against 10 peons, the warriors are going to win, obviously.
Yeah.
Ballista, I think it.
The ballistic kind of like, they're like catapults and shit.
Yeah. The more people you have in there, the more damage they do. And there's some stages where you have to manage between having people in those towers to attack, as well as sending out enemies to hold the guys coming to attack.
Right.
Because if you hold them in the spot next to the tower's going to keep attacking. Where right. Otherwise they might just walk to the tower and then you lose that advantage of the tower. The game strategy based is fantastic gameplay. The humor in this game is worth triple the price that they're asking. For $10, this is an absolute must buy. I had Rez do this one because I'm not too huge into strategy games, but I am very, very happy that I picked this one up to review myself.
And this is also on mobile, which I may actually pick this up on mobile. This looks kind of cool.
Nice. So, what's the mobile price?
Probably the same. I just saw that it was available on it. I'm going to look it up right now. For everybody listening, I am on the Google Play Store. So this it may differ from the iTunes one. But let's find out. Crush your enemies. Well, it's technically free on mobile, but I'm sure there's like a pay, you know what I mean? I don't know how much it's going to be to pay for all of the stuff.
Yeah.
It's probably $10 because that's what it is on Steam. So
nice. Good stuff.
But I'm downloading it right now, actually.
Sounds good.
So what's the next one?
Next game to talk about is called Chime Sharp, developed by Twist Play, published by Chilled Mouse, and it was originally created by Zoe Mode. It released July 19th on Steam for $14.99. A lot of people might remember the game Chime came out on the Xbox 360 a couple of years ago. It was like a charity game where... I think like all the money that you paid for the game went to some charity and the game rewarded you by like just giving you a 50 point achievement when you started the game. That's like, thank you for donating to charity. Something like that.
That's pretty neat.
It is a rhythm puzzle game where you have a grid that is laid out and you have to drop Tetris style pieces that are all like five blocks in size instead of four. So you'll have like T shapes, or you'll have a line of four with like one in the middle somewhere. You'll have L shapes.
Like, Luminous? Was that the name of it? PSP and stuff.
Yeah. Luminous, you have two different colors, and you have to match up those colors into blocks, and then get bombs to tie up.
Right, but
to
the
those
whole like
colors.
left to right.
Yeah, the difference with this is, instead of trying to match up colors, you're trying to create a 3x3 block. And once you do that, you have to expand that block, you know, either horizontally, vertically, or both if you're good enough. But it basically has to stay in a rectangle of some form. Like it can't become an L shape or a T shape. It needs to be a rectangle, a square. It has to be just a rectangular
flat side.
Yes.
Got it.
And you need to eventually, like, once you expand it so big and you can't expand it anymore, once the gauge fills up, the block fills up in color, it'll disappear. And then all the spots that block was taking up are converted on the grid. And the goal is to claim the entire grid, where you convert the entire grid from the standard color over to the new one. Clearly, it doesn't need to be 100% converted to count as clearing the stage, but you want to try getting as much as possible. The time all comes down to how well you're doing. So if you're consistently making those blocks and clearing areas and converting spaces, the song will extend. And it's all electronic music, all new music and new visuals from the original game. And the stage lasts as long as you're doing well. Like, I had a game, one single stage last over 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And then I've had one, you know, when I first started, I was having a hard time because it's been years, you know, the original Chime came out in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I had to get back in the swing of things, where my game was like a minute and a half.
Probably mine would be shorter than that, actually. More than likely.
I'm going to say something you don't hear me say often.
Okay.
This game is better with a mouse and keyboard.
What?
I've been so used to playing the game with a controller, so that clearly I fired it up and I played with a controller.
Right.
And, you know, just trying to move around as much as I needed, it got hard after a while. So I was like, let me try it with a mouse. And with the mouse, you just point where you want to drop the piece. The right mouse button rotates it, and the left button drops it. And it works so much better with mouse controls.
Oh, baby. That's exciting. I never thought I would hear the day.
Overall, the game is a lot of fun. If you've played the original Chime, this has all new music to it, all new modes to it. The visuals get a nice makeover. Some of the songs I wasn't too fond of, but the majority of it, it's a fantastic soundtrack. Overall, $15 if you are itching for a good, long-lasting puzzle game, buy it. It's a good one.
Cool.
Chime is awesome. I would love to see this come to consoles, because it's been too long since consoles have had a new Chime game.
It looks fun. I think with how you're describing the gameplay with a mouse, I would consider playing it with a mouse because I think I might have an actual chance at getting a half decent score that way. Because I don't know what it is, man. Like, I can play puzzle games and I can. I can comprehend what needs to be done, but execution is just like, I'm not fast enough for some of the stuff that needs to get, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's worth a shot.
Yeah, it's a cool game, though. So next game to talk about is called Maldita Castilla EX, developed and published by AB Light Studios, released July 20th for $11.99. This feels like Ghosts and Goblins. Just straight up Ghosts and Goblins, you know. It's just, it's fucking like awesome.
Old school platformer, right?
This is as old school as it gets. It feels legit like a brand new Ghosts and Goblins game. You have the knight in armor and you get hit and you lose your armor. You pick up different weapons. You kill enemies. You find secrets. There's really not much to say about the game. It's just old school Ghosts and Goblins style game. It can be pretty difficult. It is definitely meant to be old school with difficulty as well. I have not beaten the game because I am a bitch ass scrub.
That's funny.
What was the game we covered last week? The Cast of the Seven Godsends.
Uh-huh.
How that one felt a lot like Ninja Gaiden.
This is more so.
Where the difficulty felt really unfair. I think the difficulty in this game is fair.
Okay.
Like, it's difficult, but you can learn the game and you can beat the game. Is it going to be easy? No. But it is definitely doable. It's a decently, I don't want to say it's like a super long game. It's basically like six stages with,
standard, you know, I mean like standard thing, you know, maybe Super Nintendo platformer. Cause that's what the graphics kind of remind me of more so.
Yeah. It's not a super, it's for $12. It feels as long as it should be. Like, I maybe $10 people would be like, oh, but it's a $2 difference. So I don't fucking whatever.
Well, it's technically on sale right now for what? Like 10 something.
Yeah. It's probably like 1080 or something like that. Maybe a little bit less. The beauty of like launch discounts.
I tell you what, the soundtrack sounds cool. I think the art style, the pixel art's really good. I like it.
It has an SNES feel to the visuals.
Well, to the sound set is very Super Nintendo too. The chipset. Yeah.
It's a hard game to talk about because it is just so old school through and through, but
dude, like this
that's what it is.
If you were to sit me down in front of a computer with a controller and told me that this was a Super Nintendo game that like I was unaware of, I would believe you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's like, I think it was done really, really well. I think it looks smooth. I think it captures that style of game design perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, the game was originally, a Windows and Ouya title back in like 2012, if I remember. I looked it up like last week and I kind of forget. This is an EX version, which is like, you know, upgraded visuals and.
Okay.
Just, it's nothing like super, super major. It's basically making it look good on new consoles.
Okay.
From AB Light.
And it does.
Yeah. I think they fucking nailed it. I think this, if you are looking for a good old school, just very old, like, this is not going to hold your hand.
No, this is very, like, for people that are really into games like a Ninja Gaiden, I guess I don't want to say Castlevania-ish, maybe, but Ghouls and Goblins, it has that type of style to it.
Yeah.
And it really does. I can't say this enough, but it's very accurate. It's scarily accurate.
I was wrong. There's eight stages, not six. There's eight stages with 19 bosses and four different endings, depending on how good you are.
See, that's cool, man. This is on my wish list now. I like this. I think it looks really, really good.
Yeah, so definitely another one. This one for $12. Yeah, buy it. Give it a go. If you're not into older hard games, you're not going to like this one. But for the most part, yeah, give it a go. Good stuff.
Pass looks good. Looks real good.
All right, next game on the list is called Under Night In Birth EXE Late.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. You have the email for this one. This was reviewed by our good friend Wood, who's done our show a number of times. He's basically our fighting game guy. It was developed by Soft Circle French Bread, published by Arc System Works. It released July 12th on Steam for $29.99. Chris, would you like to read Wood's review of this one?
So he literally starts off the email with the TLDR version. And his TLDR version is anime. That's his TLDR version.
Oh my God.
Upfront, this is a pretty good anime-style game from the makers of Melty Blood. That has solid gameplay, okay online play, and a convoluted anime storyline that requires outside research to figure out what the hell is going on. Side note, there is more recent of their game, which adds ST to the title, but also has another character and character tweaks. It hasn't been released to Steam, the version that he's currently reviewing. So, just as his side note. So let's get started with the visuals. This game features beautifully animated character sprites as they fight in great mock-ups of nighttime Japanese locales, in which I'm assuming is modern Tokyo. Attacks look cool, characters are actually interesting. And it's still in the trope of Japanese school kids saving/destroying the world aesthetics when it comes to character design. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but I figure that I'd give you a heads up. Though the characters that aren't kids are genuinely pretty cool looking, one character is a void monster. Another is a bearded dude with two giant claw hands. And another pretty cool... and other pretty cool designed characters. Though I have to say that the UI seems a little too clean. I don't know if that's a thing. There isn't a lot of style to it, but it does do the job well. On the playfield, there's health bars, a timer, a super meter, and a weird bar in the bottom center of the screen that does something I'll explain later. Gameplay-wise, yeah. Gameplay-wise, the game is solid. What I like about Kihome Enbu, is that how you say it?
Kohime Enbu
is in this game as well. Solid footsies and nothing too complicated. Plus, it's a good departure from the company's last game, Melty Blood, which was so heavily based on pure offense that it really turned me off on picking it up. When this game originally came out, a lot of players were making different references to this game being close to Street Fighter in terms of playstyle. Though I have to caveat that this game does have some advanced combo systems that do include being able to hit characters off of the ground and off walls to continue combos, unlike Street Fighter. This game uses four buttons, light, medium, hard, and drive. And special motions are your typical quarter circles, half circles, dragon punch motions, and the like. So coming from a Street Fighter, it's easier to pick up. You can do EX moves by using the hard button, versions of the move. So it's rather easy to get into. But there is that dumb bar at the bottom of the screen. Basically, every few seconds, whoever has the advantage or is putting in more pressure gets a box filled in up to seven. Why is that good? Because it gives you the ability to cash in boxes for meter using a DBZ-like charge-up, and at some point you can cash it in to do a split-second time freeze, which allows you to react to a 50-50 mix-up or reset your position back to a neutral so you could do some even crazier combos. How do you do that? I haven't a clue. For a truly unique mechanic, the game does a piss-poor job of explaining it with a tutorial mode or anything of the like. And while there's a fully featured story mode, the game also does a piss poor job of explaining any of the background information. There's a chance I might have played through with the wrong character, who is one of the guest characters from another fighting game. I think this game requires you to have the knowledge of the manga that preceded to have a clue of what's going on. Why do they even have these powers? Why are parts of Tokyo in this weird witching hour? Why are they fighting each other? Why these assholes? I got nothing because the game explains nothing. And realistically, that's my only genuine gripe of the game. It does nothing to explain itself or even its mechanics. You gotta explore outside of the game to find out for yourself, and I think that's a foul. Online mode is actually pretty solid, though, with a bit of lag, but not enough that it's a deal-breaker. I did have an instance...
We have to keep in mind that he does reside in Japan, so that might be...
He does live in Japan. So it could just be server-side stuff. You never know. He said that I did have an instance where the game kind of freaked out on me when I alt-tabbed while finding a match, and I ended up having to restart the client. It was weird. But it's also a PC game, so, you know, those things kind of happen. So my final verdict for the game is the same for casual players and hardcore competitive players alike. Try it. The story is friggin' weird and not explained well. The presentation is anime. but the fighting engine is solid and a lot of fun. You can find people online to play with as well. This is a solid port of the PS3 version, and it's a worthwhile pickup if you couldn't get it the first time. But there's a caveat that this isn't even the current version, but I can say that if you have a solid enough laptop... or PC, this is the more portable version. So this is the most
current that we have on Steam. So I'm not sure if Steam or America is going to get a more updated version. There, it's possible that the most current version might be a Japan only thing.
Possible,
but who knows?
But yeah,
thanks, Wood. Under Night in Birth EXE Late. What a fucking name.
Yeah, right? This is a really long name.
Good lord. All right, next game is called Orc Slayer, developed and published by Kuplay Studios. It released July 19th on the PlayStation 4 for only $3.99. This is a first-person shooter where you've got a crossbow and you got to kill some orcs.
I'm looking at the trailer right now.
That's why it's called Orc Slayer.
Yep.
It's not a very deep game, but it is a fun, enjoyable game. It's not going to win any Game of the Year awards for visuals or for presentation, but it's just a good, mindless first-person shooter that's fairly family friendly-ish. It's not super violent. It's not super gory. So this might be something you could sit down with your kids and play, as weird as that sounds, a first person shooter.
Well, I mean, I've played first person shooters that were, you know, family friendly for the most part.
I mean, you're still murdering tons of orcs, but it's not like a super gory game or anything.
No, it looks pretty playful. I mean, yeah, it's $5 on Steam.
Yeah, I think when I looked, it was $6.99 on Steam, something like that. It's $3.99 on PS4. My biggest gripe with the game is there are pretty much no control options at all.
So you're stuck with defaults and that's it?
There's no way to adjust sensitivity, which Ashley tried playing it, and she was like, this is way too sensitive. I need to lower it. And the reason I had her play it is because the biggest deal breaker with me is it does not have inverted control options.
Oh, yeah. You have a problem with that, don't you?
I cannot play standard controls. I emailed the company. They said that they're looking into adding that as an option. I hope it shows up because $4, pretty much every $4 game that we have on this show, we give a buy it because it's just fucking $4.
$4.
As it stands, this is going to be kind of a split rating where if you can play with standard non-inverted controls, drop the $4, kill a couple hours shooting some orcs and have fun, get a trophy for killing an orc by shooting him in the dick, and, you know, just move on with your life. If you need inverted controls, hold off.
You're fine. You're totally fine.
I hope they update it and add inverted controls, or if nothing else, I hope they bring it to Xbox One where I could use my Elite controller and flip the Switch and have inverted controls. I wish PlayStation had something like they have button customization, but they don't have any way to adjust analog sticks.
That's weird. That's kind of strange.
But yeah, I'm kind of bummed because I was legit having fun with that one. But just the fucking controls, I need to invert my controls. I need it. I can't play it standard. I got to like the fourth stage in the game with standard controls, which is a goddamn miracle. But yeah,
I have faith in you. I'm sure you could do it.
I mean, if I really wanted to, I'm sure I could. It's just difficult and irritating. I want to be able to invert my controls.
Well, all right. Well, that's one thing to keep in mind. And let me go ahead and preface this as well. I'm sure some of you listening are like, well, what? So they're just going to suggest pretty much any like $3 or $4 or $5 game. Let me remind you, okay? If you were to go to an arcade nowadays and you play a game once for like 5 or 10 minutes,
pretty much a dollar.
That's at least a dollar. At least a dollar. Some
if you go to Dave and Buster's, you're going to drop a dollar on Flappy Bird for 12 seconds.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking about like gameplay and quality of game versus price. Okay. There might be some cheaper games where you'd just be like, oh my God, this looks like dog shit. However, It's only like five bucks.
And it's fun.
So just keep that in mind. I just want to, you know what?
Support indie developers who are going to go out there and release a game for only $4.
For only $5. Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck?
You know, it's not that they're going out there and dropping, you know, a 2D platformer for $24.99 or something. This is a game, like a, it's not a 5 minute game. It's not a mobile game that it, you just run for 5 minutes and then you start over. This is a full fledged first person shooter. It's again, it's not going to win any awards for greatest visuals or anything, but it's an entertaining game and it's only $4. Support developers who are still willing to put out affordable, cheap games that they just want people to play and have fun with.
They're not trying
to put out a message. This isn't some artsy game. It's not Journey or it's just a fun mindless game for $4. So yeah, we're going to support developers who do stuff like that and we will give them our backing and say yes, buy that game for only $3.99, you cheap sons of bitches.
Exactly.
Speaking of cheap games, Wind Up Night 2, developed by Robot Invader, published by Unity Games, it released July 21st on the 3DS for $5. It originally released on the Wii U last August for $7.50. This is a 2D... kind of like an auto runner style game where you're a wind up knight and your walking is powered by, picking up gears to wind up your robot. You want to get from the beginning to the end, pick up all of the coins along the way, destroy the enemies along the way, hit the checkpoints. Each stage has a hidden red gnome hat as well. And get to the end. Sounds simple enough. Of course, as the game progresses, the stages get more complex and harder, introducing wall jumps. You have one button to attack, one button to jump. You can hold up to lift your shield above your head for stuff falling. You can hold down to initiate a roll, so you can, you know, get under things. there, once you beat a stage, of course you get rated on it. If you collect all the coins in the game, in the stage, you get an A ranking. If you miss any, you get a B ranking. If you collect all the coins and the gnome hat, you get an S ranking.
Okay.
After that, each stage also has three optional objectives that range from going through the same stage, and instead of collecting coins or a hat, you can... There's different ones for avoiding all enemies. Like, you, instead of having a sword, you have a flower. So you can't attack your enemies. So you have to find, you know, jump over them or roll under them. There's ones that you cannot get any coins. The coins are red and you have to avoid all the coins. There's ones where fairies are flying around and you have to, you know, jump and swing and catch them. Then there's some goofy ones, like there's bowling pins set up and you have to roll through them.
Interesting. But
each level has three separate additional challenges so that you can complete the stage as well as all three optional additional runs, and there's just a lot of content in the game for a $5 game, because there's a lot of stages. You're going to want to continue playing through until you get your perfect S rank run, and then you want to do the optional stages. Mm-hmm. The coins that you pick up and earn at the end of your runs, you can buy new equipment, new armor, shields, swords, helmets. Some of them are just for show. Others, like, some of them, if you run out of, like, if you miss a wind-up thing and you run out of power, it'll give you a refresh.
Okay.
Like, I think the one helmet does that. There's another helmet where the things that fall on you, you can take one hit and it destroys the helmet, but it doesn't kill you.
Okay. It's like a breakaway.
Yeah, there's different weapons where, like, you can charge it up and shoot beams out of it. So instead of just hacking and slashing, you can shoot enemies in the distance. For $5, there's a lot of content and it's a lot of fun. One thing to keep in mind is that this game is exclusively for the new Nintendo 3DS system.
Oh.
Yes, it will not work on older systems. It is exclusively a new Nintendo 3DS game. If you do not have a new Nintendo 3DS game, again, the game did come out on the Wii U last August for $7.50. The perks that the 3DS version has, I guess, is that the 3D is actually really nice in the game. I enjoyed it. And then it's only $5. So yes, I'm going to give another $5 game another buy it rating. How do you like that?
I like that.
What do you think of that?
It's on other platforms too. So I mean, like, isn't it on? Where did I pull it up? I'm trying to.
Might be on Steam or on mobile.
It might be. Where is it? It does say Wii U eShop.
Yeah, I do not believe that it's on any other consoles.
Okay.
I inquired. I haven't heard anything. I'd like to see it come to other consoles because I like seeing smaller, enjoyable games like that where, yeah, you're not going to spend a 40 hours going through an epic storyline, but you're going to kill an hour playing that game. Fuck yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to come back to it over and over because it's just fun and it has daily challenges and you want to play it every day and you want to have fun every day. And it's only $5.
So only $5.
Buy the goddamn game, you cheap bitches.
It's only $5.
Oh my god, what was the game with Tim where
I think it was Killer Instinct.
It's only $20.
Yeah. I believe wasn't that trying to convince
you to get the game too?
Yes. And I did it. I bought it twice.
And now you're balls deep in it.
Yep.
All right. Next game is another email that I sent you. It's called Niflheim, developed and published by Elada Games, released April 28th on Steam for $19.99. This is going to be guest reviewed by CJ Greenwood, who is a new correspondent for our show. And I quite enjoyed his review, and I think we'll have to get him back on for a couple other games. But, Chris, you have the email. Would you like to handle this one, sir?
Sure. Tell me how to say this one more time so I don't fuck it up too many times.
I've been saying Niflheim.
Niflheim?
That's about right.
Okay. So Niflheim is currently in early access on Steam for $20, developed and published by Alotta Games. Let's start with the best part of the game, which is the art style. And I fucking agree, because as soon as you sent me this, like, I looked at the art style and I'm like, damn, this looks good. All right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, dude, holy shit. It's all hand-drawn, and my God, is it beautiful. I love the graphic style, from the way the animal's fur blows in the wind to the way the snow flurries pick up and cover the screen. It's so crazy to say that I truly felt immersed in a 2D world. And I totally fucking get it. Like, this game looks so good. To the right of your house is a mountain that is in the shape of a bear. I cannot believe that was hand-drawn. The game plays a little bit like Terraria's much older, mature brother. While you can't freely build like in Terraria, you do cut down trees, mine, and kill enemies in almost the exact same way. The combat is very simple, with simple holding down the left mouse button on an enemy. Although a nice little feature they added was the ability to hold F to lock onto an enemy, so that if you're fighting multiple enemies at once, you will still attack the same one rather than hitting one of them in a group at a time, as they seem to stack on top of each other. The blocking, however, is currently not very useful due to it not working mid-combat. The devs said that they want to update that.
That is good.
Yeah, so it's obviously that's just a bug.
Hey, that's the perks of early access.
Early access on Steam.
Know what you're getting into.
The game also featured a simplistic crafting system which can be used inside of your house at four different workstations, all having their own purpose. All of them can be upgraded to unlock new recipes. The first one to the right is a cooking station for, well, you know, cooking. The second station on the right is an alchemy station for brewing potions and beer. The first one to the left is a woodworking station for making boards and rope, as well as some weapons and armor. And the second one to the left is a metalworking station for turning ores into ingots and, well, more weapons and armor.
Yeah.
Well, when you first start the game, you are given basic tools, a bow, fighting stick, axe, and pick, as well as a beer. The first goal is to upgrade your home, because undead will attack your home from time to time, and it will get destroyed. And if it gets destroyed, that is probably a game over. I wouldn't know, as it is actually pretty easy to defend your house. This requires getting resources like wood and stone. To gather wood is pretty simple. Equip your axe and hold and click on trees. Mining for stone, on the other hand, is a bit different. You think you want to clear as much stone as possible for the most resource. However, the more stone that you clear, the more room for undead to spawn in your own mine. This can be a problem at a low level, causing you to become overwhelmed in your own mind. This is very important to it is very important to hunt and get as much wood as possible before mining, so that you can quickly craft armor and better tools. There are also dungeons hidden within your own mine as well as in other mines. These dungeons have much better loot than anything you can craft early on. But they have a boss protecting chest containing these amazing items. The bosses would be very hard, but the game makes it very easy, which, depending on how you feel about challenges, this is a problem. It makes the boss fight easy by allowing unlimited respawns, granting you spawn back at the front door to your house. But the boss keeps all the damage you inflicted on it before you die, meaning you can simply keep throwing yourself at a boss until eventually they die and you can get better gear. The only penalty for dying is that 10% of your gold is taken away, and you may randomly drop equipment, which you could then pick back up, making bosses a repetitive, cheap battle. With the nature of early access, there are bound to be some bugs. I hit one in particular while mining, which completely messed me up for a few minutes. I went through the door. I went through a door to go deeper into the mine. When my game threw a character through my character a few floors lower than I should have been, and I was stuck in a stone wall, which I was able to mine out of, but I couldn't go back up. I tried quitting out and restarting, but it put me back to where I was and spawned spiders on me, which killed me and immediately put me back in front of my house.
Early access.
The only other problem is that the game has partial controller support, but it is very useless seeing as you need to click the mouse to get rid of menus or open up your inventory. After a little while, I just decided to remap the keyboard controls to play with that, which worked much better. The price of $20 may turn off some people. And to be fair, it is a little steep for now, as long as a lot of the planned content isn't there yet. But with the amount of time you will be spending playing it, it is worth it, in my opinion. Overall, I actually had a lot of fun playing it, despite the bugs. I really didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. For now, you should try it. But as long as the developers keep up their word about everything that will be in the game when it is released, it is a buy it for any fan of 2D survival games.
Nice. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. I cannot stress enough that this game looks fucking incredible. Like,
yeah, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous looking game.
God damn, this game looks nice.
It is sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
sexy.
Even if you're just into certain games just for fans of the art style, like, yo, this art style fucking rules. It's cool. It's really, really cool.
All right, so, you have anything else to add for that one?
No, it just looks really, really fucking gorgeous. Like it's really gorgeous.
All right, we have three more, so bear with us. We're getting through these as quick as we can. Next up is called Tricky Towers, developed and published by Weirdbeard. It releases August 2nd on Steam and PS4. I do not have a price for this one. Hope to have it soon. Apologies for that. We will try to update you next week. This is kind of like a reverse Tetris game, where you have to use Tetris-style pieces to build a tower. The physics in this game, a game like this is going to live or die on physics, and the physics in this make sure that the game is not overly easy. If you stack a building too much on one side, it will start leaning, so you have to know how to properly stack things, to weight them properly, make sure that you have a nice sturdy building to accomplish what you need to do. There's a bunch of different modes in the game. One is basically to get up to a certain height, which easy enough, allegedly.
This looks like a lot of fun, though. This looks cool.
It is. One is puzzle based, where you're going to have so many pieces and you need to keep it under a line. And if you go over that line, you lose.
Interesting.
There's one where you have to, there's going to be so many pieces and you have to make sure that pieces don't drop, because if a piece drops, you lose health. And if you get hit three times, it's game over. So there's a bunch of cool different modes in the game to keep it unique and keep it going. And then to make sure that it's not too easy for you, I guess, the opponent, like the computer, the AI opponent, will fuck with you in, like, either dropping a balloon to screw with your piece so that you can't drop it as fast as you need. They might make the piece grow in size by like three times to really screw things up. Of course you have your own power ups. So like if you get one, it might, whatever you drop and wherever you drop it, it'll turn to concrete and it won't budge. So it's basically a free do-over platform if you get a good piece and you use on it. Others, like, it'll turn a piece to ivy and kind of give it more stability where it lands. Like, it's not going to be rock solid, but it'll be a lot more, it'll be able to resist more, I guess.
Okay.
There are a ton of stages in the game. There is also local and online multiplayer for up to 4 players. The controls are where I had some issues. I originally requested this on the PS, or I was going to request it on the PS4 because it's not available on Xbox.
Okay.
But I commented that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the PS4 because the D-pad, I hate the D-pad on that thing. It's just squishy. And trying to play a Tetris-style game, like, I need a fast, precise D-pad, which is what the Xbox One has. The D-pad on the Xbox One is marvelous.
Yeah, I love it.
I was given the Steam version of the game because I was told, you know, you can use an Xbox controller on there. I don't know if it is only supported on certain controllers or what, but I could not use the D-pad with my Xbox One controller on Steam. I had to use the analog stick.
Okay.
And for a Tetris style game, like an analog stick,
that doesn't feel nice. It's brutal.
It kind of helps a bit in the fact that instead of, you know, in Tetris, when you move to the left or the right, it moves over one block width. In this game, it moves by half block widths, which it can come in very handy depending on.
Well, because it's physics based, I mean, like, I can understand having a little bit more control.
Again,
over that,
so. I wish. Again, I don't know if it's just on my end or if I used a different controller, if the D-pad would work, but I was unable to use the D-pad on with my Xbox One controller, and that. It hurt. It made it a lot harder to play. The game, the difficulty seems to ramp up really, really quick. The opposing AI wizard that you're going to have to go against becomes a massive asshole super quick. I'm doing really well, and then it just all goes to shit in the final seconds of a round. And it gets brutally tough fairly quick. But overall, it is an enjoyable game. I kind of want to see how it plays on the PlayStation 4, hoping that the D-pad on there would work, because I think a PS4 D-pad would be better than no D-pad. But I still wish this would come to Xbox One. But maybe that can't always get what we want with that. But if you are a fan, yeah,
just might find you get what you
Adam Rippin. Adam Rippin. Dragon Fantasy Xbox One.
One of these years.
But
one of these.
Yeah, it's. I'm gonna give it a try it rating because it is an enjoyable game. If you're a fan of tower building games, like, this is more a tower building game than a Tetris style game. It just uses Tetris pieces.
It's funny because when I looked at this and saw the gameplay, I was like, this kind of almost reminds me of Mount Your Friends. Do you know that game?
I haven't played that.
It's weird. It's like, actually, don't even Google it. Don't even look it up. Forget that I even said anything. Forget that I mentioned anything.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay. What's next?
But yeah, give it a try. It's fun. The physics in the game are very good physics. Keep it good, and, you know, I'm like Donald Trump with words. I have good words. I can't talk today. I swear to God, I say this every week that I can't talk this week.
It's okay.
I'm breaking down, man. I'm breaking the fuck down.
Do you want me to do the next one then?
No, we'll save that one for last. Next game is called Action News Heroes, developed and published by Crew Studios, releases July 27th on the Xbox One for $9.99. This is a top-down shooter, kind of like Neon Chrome or Crimson Land. It's kind of like what America has turned into, where, like, the world has been taken over by, like, corporations and government for hire. It's scary how authentic this is turning into.
Okay.
But basically the game is you're playing kind of like a Smash TV style TV show where you have to get from the beginning of the level to the end of the level without A, losing all your lives, and B, the ratings for your show hitting zero.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is a fun twist, but also a very frustrating twist. My biggest gripe with this game is it seems like the deck is stacked against you from the get-go. When the game starts, you have a choice of a handful of different characters. You can eventually unlock extra weapons and extra special moves using the money that you earn through missions. The problem is, if you die in a mission or if you fail the mission with your ratings hitting zero, you don't get any money. It's not that you lose a percentage by failing the level. You get zero. So getting off the ground in this game can be incredibly difficult. I earned, I think I'm most of the way to die 50 times in the game before I beat the first stage.
Wow.
Okay. And you only have like four lives.
So it is like Smash TV.
It is a tough game. And again, it feels like the deck is stacked against you. To increase your ratings, you start at like 70. To increase your ratings, you have to kill enemies and blow shit up. Easy enough.
Sounds pretty easy, yeah.
If you get hit, your ratings go down. If you walk far enough away from an enemy that it goes off your radar, your ratings drop by like 3 or 4%.
Okay.
And so then the ratings,
like, don't skip anything.
Yeah. And then the ratings are continuously dropping by like a point a second. So it's kind of like a timer that you can bump up by doing well, but it is continually going down. And when you just get surrounded by enemies from all different angles, if you try going after one side of them, the guys on the other side might go off the radar and they just start dropping.
Okay.
Add into the fact that you have enemies from all sides attacking you and you die. When you die, your ratings, you know, that timer continues to go down. And it takes 5-6 seconds before you can spawn a new character. And again, you only have so many lives. So it just seems like the deck is stacked against you. I wish that there was some kind of settings in there to adjust, like, I don't know if the life or the difficulty or just something, so it didn't seem so blatantly unfair when you start.
Okay.
I mean, the gameplay itself is fun. The visuals have a cool cel-shaded look to them. And for only $10, it's a fun game. But just with the whole ratings aspect to it and how difficult it is to finally get on your feet to start unlocking new stuff and getting stronger so that you could replay and build up funds and rerun and everything else. Like, it should not take me 20 runs before I beat a stage the first time.
Well, I mean, maybe that's what they wanted. Maybe they wanted it to be a lot harder.
It's possible. Maybe. It's definitely very possible, but I think there's a point where it's too much.
Okay.
Like, it goes from hard to just unfair.
All right.
And I think it could have been balanced a little bit better. Or, you know, in the earlier stages, don't have the ratings go down at a consistent pace. Or instead of your ratings dropping by 4 points if an enemy goes off the screen, have it drop by, like, one. And by the time, like, even by the time I got near the end of the level, I had no idea what the fuck I was supposed to do. Like, I got to the end where I had to be. It just, there was no indication that I had to do what I needed to do, which was destroy the sign of a burger place.
Okay.
And then I destroyed it. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm done. Okay, I'm not done. What the fuck am I missing now? And then, you know, an icon kind of showed up on my radar of a satellite, and I went down to it. I'm like, what the fuck am I? I started shooting it. I started chucking grenades at it. Nothing until I walked up next to it, and it's like, hold the A button. It's like, I kind of wish I knew.
Oh.
So I did that and I got away and it blew up. I'm like, all right, now I'm done. And then there was a boss fight. And I was on my last life and I got down to like 10% of my health left before I beat it. And if I didn't beat that fucking boss, I probably would have closed the game and never touched it again. Because it took me so long to get to that boss. And if that would have been like, I finally made it to that point and I died at the boss and I lost, because the stages aren't like a minute long. You can spend a solid 10 minutes going through a level and to get nothing when you die. It's soul crushing.
Well,
I can understand the design, but it's a kick to the balls.
Get good.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a try. It's not enough where I would say I deny it for the game, especially at only $10, because it is a fun game. I just wish it weren't so unfair.
Okay.
In its difficulty. I think it could be balanced a bit. It's definitely something that could be patched if they're interested in patching it. I think the difficulty as it is could turn a lot of people off. And okay, I think the game is too fun to be ignored because of that. So, yeah, I'll give it a try. Give it a go. If the difficulty works for you, you're going to enjoy it. So,
cool.
Final game this week is Moon Hunters, developed and published by Kit Fox Games. It released July 19th for $14.99 on Steam and the PS4. I know that you and I both played this, as well as our friend Uneaten Lake, who has been a part of our show in the past. And he sent in an email for this one. I figure we could go over his email, and then you and I could share our impressions, and we'll wrap up, I guess.
Sounds good.
Do it up, bitch.
All right. So, do you want me to start from the larger? I'm assuming the larger text.
I would assume.
Moon Hunters is a four-player co-op roguelike game from Kit Fox Games. It's currently available on Steam for $14.99 just for the game, or $19.99 for the game and the soundtrack. Funny thing, we were both talking about the soundtrack.
Yeah, we were.
I believe the game is on PS4 as well. I mentioned the price and soundtrack first because that's one of the highlights that stands out the most when I started writing down the topics I wanted to cover for this mini review. The soundtrack is wonderful. It's one of the few games that I played lately where a song would come on and I would think, awesome, I love this song. The atmosphere that the soundtrack adds to the game is some of the best that I've heard this year. A personal gripe that I have with roguelike game reviews is that they don't always cover what items may or may not carry over to each playthrough. I'm going to cover what elements do carry over and which ones don't. During the gameplay, you'll be leveling up different stats for your character. Each character has a typical RPG stat like endurance, spirit, strength, intelligence, charm. But there's also traits that you get for doing specific things when prompted. The traits will help you unlock items and different story elements. Traits and character stats do not carry over in between your games. They're locked to that character and that playthrough. Food crafting carries over as well as the constellation that you're filling up with each playthrough. You have the ability to craft a recipe after each day that has progressed in the game if you want. Each game takes up five in-game days, so even after you've collected each item to be able to craft food, You'll still have to find which combinations you have or haven't done yet. Thankfully, the game will tell you what a combination does if you already made that recipe before. Some of the recipes will greatly help your team by giving them different additional stats to their character, and sometimes actually give the characters a specific trait. There are also four characters to play as when you first start the game, as well as two that you can unlock. Each character has their own type of attack and special attack. Most of them have some sort of dash attack or a mode to get out of an area quickly if you find yourself surrounded. During your playthrough, you may also have the ability to have a pet join you in battle. Different characters will greatly benefit from having a pet alongside them. I found that a few of the characters to not be particularly strong while playing solo, but I did see how that could be more beneficial when they were using them in a co-op mode. Which I'm sure we can actually talk about a little bit for when we play.
Yeah.
For people who are into completing everything in a game, there's quite a bit of content here to unlock. You have 94 different recipes to unlock, multiple endings, and a constellation to fill by making different choices in the story and or conversations.
Two playable characters. I think there's like 70-some different constellations you can unlock through the game as well.
Yeah, there's a bunch. And there's two different starting points. Some of the maps are randomly generated, whereas the town areas seem to be the same during each game. This is neat, and it keeps the game feeling fresh, but I got stuck in one area because the game drew an area around my character that didn't allow me to attack monsters that were in the area that I was sectioned off from. I didn't lose too much game time, but it was a little frustrating to have to start the game over. Each playthrough took about 30 to 50 minutes or so. It gave me the ability to craft five or so recipes and unlock a cluster of stars in the constellation. If you like roguelike games and have a friend to play co-op, I would highly recommend this game. I would also recommend checking out the soundtrack as well. Maybe Joe can play some of the music at the from the game at some point on SML, so those without a PC can enjoy the music as well. So now you and I got to play this game a little bit.
Indeed. I played the game solo. I played it local co-op with Ashley, and I played it online co-op with you. So I have put a bunch of time into this game multiple ways. We need to point out that the online co-op is only available on Steam.
Yes. And it's
not available on the PlayStation version of the game,
which is kind of funny.
How it is.
Yeah.
I personally didn't see too much of a difference playing it solo as opposed to playing co-op. I believe playing co-op does make the game significantly easier, because while there might be more enemies and they might be stronger enemies, like I have always played the melee guy. Ashley and you both played ranged, so it was easy for me to get up behind an enemy while you were distracting it with distance attacks.
Yeah, I tell you what, the ranged sorceress style chick, she has this this gravitational pull thing that does a ton of crowd control. So basically, you were swordy guy? Was that it?
Yep, swordy guy.
He was actually named swordy guy. He was swordy guy. And I would just sit back and I would just kind of like, I'd add some extra DPS and just group enemies together. And it was a pretty cool playstyle. Like I think the co-op aspect absolutely benefited those types of characters. I don't think I'd be able to play that, the sorceress type chick. Solo. I just don't know if there would be enough damage there, because there was a couple times where I was getting overrun from certain enemies, and I just had to teleport the fuck out of there. So I can definitely agree with that sentiment in the review.
Yeah. I know he's mentioning like all the different recipes that you can unlock and stuff like that. I gotta admit, when I played and I was playing as the swordy guy, I pretty much always just did the hunting at the camp so I can boost my attack. It felt like if I wanted, there were multiple different ways that I could play through and experience the game, but for the most part, I was just enjoying being the tank and killing shit. And I don't know, it didn't feel like there was a huge draw to really try different play styles, but maybe if I played more on my own, I could get into other classes.
I mean, I can't wait to try the other ones that we unlocked.
Yeah.
Like one of them.
I just enjoyed hacking shit with my sword, with swordy guy.
Swordy guy. Dude, it was really funny because, like, you know, well, the thing that I really liked about this game is, like, you're presented with these unique situations, and it'll tell you, like, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? And depending on what you decide, it'll give you these, like, extra characteristics and traits and stuff. And I think it's really cool because you're like, did I make the right decision or did I make the wrong decision? Was it technically a wrong decision? Because I technically got this for it, but I could have gotten this for it. Like, it's interesting enough to make you want to do multiple playthroughs.
Oh, yeah. It definitely encourages replaying it many, many, many times over.
Yeah. But it is fun. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll probably go back and do a couple more playthroughs, see what else I can unlock, try the other characters, you know, all that jazz.
I also like the fact that I've played it many times over and none of my playthroughs were really the same. Like, as he mentioned, the towns are going to be the same every time, but the actual, like, world layout, the level layouts is always going to be different. And the different events that you can run into are always going to be different. Like, in our playthrough, we unlocked both of the extra characters.
Yeah.
On my solo time on the PlayStation, I haven't found a single one of those.
Because I'm a boss, that's why.
So it's cool how different it could be. Like that one mini boss that you and I fought, that Humbaba or whatever it was, I didn't run into that on PlayStation. So
no, and the way that was technical, well, I guess spoiler alert. So there was that one, there was the one boss guy, but later on in the game, we were at our camp, and when you're at camp, that's basically how you do your upgrades from night to night. So I chose the upgrade that I was going to do. And while it was doing the mini cutscene-esque dialogue thing to explain what happened when I was training, the guy came to our camp that we just beat up. And he's just like, and I forget the line of dialogue that he had. But, depending on the reaction that I had and the one that I chose, you know, made him consider allying with us, and that's what made it so that you could use him as another playable character. But had I made the wrong decision, I would have just completely lost out.
Yeah.
Which, so I kind of like the idea of like, all right, yeah, you might be just close of that thing that you don't know that you really need to get, but you'll never even know because it's not like a clear, distinct thing saying, well, if you do this, then this is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I gotta say though, cool.
$15 for the game, I think it's a steal for how much content is in there.
Yeah. Or it's $20 for the soundtrack and the game. So
yeah, or if you already got the game, the soundtrack is $10 to download.
Right. But we were mentioning the soundtrack too, because while we were playing, there was a song that was playing that there's a vocal track on top of it, and the vocal track is in reverse.
Yeah.
So like, part of me wants to like find that and reverse it so I can hear what they're supposed to be saying.
Well, the soundtrack is available either on Steam or on Bandcamp as well for $9.99.
Well, there you go.
If you go to moonhunters.bandcamp.com, you can grab the Moon Hunter soundtrack, which includes 17 songs for only $10. And I think Uneaten Lake had a good idea, and we should close out the show with some Moon Hunters music. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down with that.
That makes my job so much easier.
isn't it great when a plan just comes together?
Exactly. Like, we didn't even try, and it happened.
Yeah.
Shit is like bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Indeed. So yeah, thanks to everyone for listening. If you haven't sent us any email in a while, feel free to do so. The smlpodcast@gmail.com, just to rub in how much our contest winner has won. I got the email today from Harmonix to pass on to her with 73 different DLC packs for Rock Band 4.
So many. I'm pretty jealous.
Let that sink in. I don't know how many are packs, how many are single songs exactly, because none of them were listed. It's just,
they're just codes. Like,
yeah. And they awesome. Are all packs, because I asked her, like, you know, what kind of, were they just like currency codes or what are they? Because I know a while back they had like $2 currency codes out the ass from some of their promo stuff, and like there was Disturbed pack, there was like individual stuff. I think the one was like the bonus 30 songs from pre-ordering the game.
Oh, that's sweet.
So yeah, 73 download codes for Rock Band 4.
That's awesome.
That she won.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, just for giving us our new name.
Yeah.
Scoring more laughs. That's how easy it was. That is how fucking easy it was.
That's all it takes.
And don't forget, Adam Rippon said that we have to do a new contest at 250 because he's going to have a prize then.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We'll so be prepared for early 2017. Then again, at the pace we're going,
in like 2 weeks.
I was going to say, at the pace we're going, stay tuned for October.
Yeah, right? Right? What the fuck?
Oh, shit. So, yeah, I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about, Chris? Are you ready to wind this one down?
I'm ready to wind this one down.
All right. So thanks again for listening. Feel free to shoot us emails at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Don't do any of those. I'm not going to judge you. Just do what makes you happy.
Yeah.
We care.
Yeah. You know what? That's how we're ending the show. Do what makes you happy.
Do what you want to do when the fuck you want to do it. Try hard to live your life. Live life the way that you want.